This podcast is a member of the Voices of Wrestling Podcasting Network. Visit voicesofwrestling.com to hear the rest of our great podcasts, as well as show reviews, columns, opinions, and updates across the world of wrestling.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to Shake Them Ropes, episode 55, for our special NXT TakeOver, our Evolution post-show, live at ShakeThemRopes.com. For all those joining us live, we thank you. For all those listening on iTunes, Stitcher, or elsewhere later on, we thank you also for joining us. Sorry you couldn't do it live with us. We are going to be taking calls during the half hour, so if you have questions, comments, or anything you want to get off your chest about NXT TakeOver tonight, go to ShakeThemRopes.com. Call number is 260-494-3811 or on Skype at Let's Say Things. That's Let's Say Things, all one word, LetsSayThings. So we have a lot to get to. Rob McCarron here, joined by Jeff Hawkins. Jeff, hello. How are you tonight?
Doing well. What's up, Ratchet Rob McCarron?
Yeah, I had to play the Sasha Banks music. I had it all queued up. I thought she was going to win tonight. She didn't.
She is the uncrowned people's champ of NXT. I don't care. She was the best on this show.
This was one hell of a 2 hours of WWE and NXT TV. And all 2 hours, by the way, I hope most of you did not make the mistake like I did. In preparing for this show, I turned it off as Sami Zayn was being carried around the ring in celebration of his title. But Jeff Hawkins, apparently something happened after that.
Yes, you missed Kevin Owens turning on his friend after giving him a congratulatory handshake and power bombing him on the apron of the ring.
Yes, we had Kevin Owens debut tonight. And the heel turn of Kevin Owens right away. I did not see it. I can't believe it. I got the remnants of it. We are already joined by a caller, Warren. Warren, how are you today?
Guys, I am feeling pretty good after watching that show. How y'all doing?
Pretty good. Your overall doing well? Thoughts of the 2 hours of NXT. Biggest match of the night. Is this a show that you would go back and rewatch? What were your overall thoughts?
I would definitely go back and rewatch it. I honestly think it will not get any better for the WWE than that. That was the proverbial indie guys do it better kind of match. I cannot give the show any more than 10 out of 10. It's just incredible.
You didn't turn the show off too early, did you?
No, I saw what happened. And that, you know, the only thing I could put on Twitter was he did it again.
Kevin Owens debuts. Go ahead.
Now, did that taint your opinion of the show in any way?
No, not at all. I mean, you never get a happy ending in professional wrestling. You know, if this was SummerSlam, Randy Orton would have cashed in on him.
That was the cash in. It was. I mean, we had the great moment. Sammy finally got his championship. He's still the champion, so let's not all go crazy. It's not the Daniel Bryan situation. He's still the champion, but he's got a challenger. Oh, no. This guy who's waited forever to get into WWE is finally in there, and on the first night in, he saw his best friend in the business and someone who was called before him win the title, and Kevin Steen knows that he should be in that spot, and he is not waiting for the call anymore. He is going to go after it right away. He's not waiting anymore. That's, I got to believe, what the story is going to be. And the tapings tomorrow, taping the next 4 weeks of TV, sure are set up to be pretty interesting, Jeff.
Oh, yes. Got a question for both of you now. Was this better than NXT Arrival?
Yes.
I mean, it's. We'll talk about that as we go through these matches here. But to me, from top to bottom, there was not a poor match on this show. Even the Baron Corbin squash, even the Ascension match, there was nothing poor. This was top to bottom an excellent show. I'd put it up against any WWE pay-per-view of the year. I'd put it up against all the NXT shows. Yes, it is the most fresh in mind, but to me, this was the best NXT show as far as a special of the year.
In the back of my mind, I'm hoping Triple H is kind of giving a slight middle finger to Vince, saying, you're going to do that to my women's champ? all right, we're going to blow your stupid 3-hour Raw out the door. But, I think I'm probably reading too much into that, but it was a great show. Loved it.
Excellent show. Your final thought, Warren, from tonight's takeover.
You know, I think the one thing that people should remember above all and beyond is the fact that Sasha Banks and Charlotte went out and put on probably the best WWE women's match in the last at least 7 or 8 years.
Yeah, we're going to get through these matches too, but I'm in agreement. I this was a big comeback after the week of news with Charlotte's Raw debut to now. This was a heck of a showing from both her and Sasha Banks. Warren, thank you so much for the call and joining us tonight. I'm glad you enjoyed TakeOver. And if anyone else would like to call into our show tonight, 260-494-3811 or on Skype, Let's Say Things on Skype. You can join in the crazy fun here at ShakeThemRopes.com. I missed the Kevin Owens turn, but at least we have a program set up. It looks like they're not going to go right back to Adrian Neville and Sami Zayn because, Jeff, Adrian Neville may be on the rise up.
That'd be awesome in my book. I'll take that.
We have another call on the line, 320 area code. Who are you? Where are you calling from?
Brian calling from Minnesota.
Brian from Minnesota. How did you enjoy TakeOver tonight?
I thought it was absolutely phenomenal. One of the best WWE programs I've seen in quite some time.
Were you, as far as the matches go, because I think this was a card that had a lot of hype for the top two matches, you know, the title match as well as the big Divas or the Women's Championship match.
Right.
Overall, in those top two matches, I mean, back to back, what were your thoughts on watching those two over the last hour of TV? Because I think a lot of people on Twitter, a lot of people out there are talking about this might have been the best hour of WWE TV all year long.
Oh, yeah. I mean, the women's title match, not only a good women's match, but just a good wrestling match, I mean, in general. And as far as that main event, I mean, that lived up to all the hype that was being built up. And I just thought it was great to finally see Zayn win that title after he's been chasing it for months now on TV. And then with the ending with Owens coming out, and I went into it thinking that he was going to come out and attack him. And then when he did the hug and, you know, kind of with that whole thing, I thought that was pretty cool. And then as they're walking away, it kind of had me fooled when he just turned around and attacked Zayn. But I think that's definitely a feud that is well worthy of WWE programming and TV. So I'm really excited to see how that plays out.
I would, Brian, I'd like to thank you so much for calling and hope you continue to listen on. And I'm glad you enjoyed NXT TakeOver tonight.
All right. Thanks, guys.
All right, Jeff, we continue.
Thanks, Brian.
We continue on. CJ Parker just posted a Twitter of his hand on Twitter. His hand was cut open from the palm strike that seemed to have broken or at least bloodied up Kevin Owens's nose. So the nose actually got the better of the exchange with CJ Parker. And we'll start with that because that was our opener tonight. Kevin Owens debuted against CJ Parker. We both predicted that it would be CJ Parker because he's slotted into this role now. What did you think overall about the Kevin Owens debut and presentation?
I really liked it. I think maybe Owens may have given up a little bit too much offense in the match, the way they set it up. I think the only downside is I think they should have given CJ Parker a TV win before this match, because what happened was with the way they positioned it, putting Baron Corbin on right after Kevin Owens kind of, and what he did to CJ Parker on the last big show kind of diminished it just a little bit. But overall, I thought Owens looked really good here. And you know what? The blood just made for a more interesting visual for me. I was kind of hoping he'd snap a little and they'd call a bit of an audible in the ring and he'd just destroy Parker after that. But overall, a great debut for him, and the crowd really was into him. So I couldn't be happier.
If you want to get in the conversation, we are taking calls. Let's Say Things on Skype as well as 260-494-3811, or tweet at us and we'll get your tweets on the show. The overall presentation, I mean, I like the music. I don't think it'll be his long-term music. I think they'll make something else for him, but it was good. Yeah, his presentation coming in, I mean, the crowd is going ape for him. I mean, they're all excited to see this guy. You know, the name fits. They're chanting Fight Owens Fight, and he comes out here and fights. I mean, he's beaten up CJ Parker. CJ Parker is the veteran of NXT, so he does get a little bit of offense in. I don't think it hurt too much because Kevin Owens fought back as a guy who just wasn't going to take it anymore. Brush CJ Parker off, hitting power moves as well as his, you know, bowl into the corner. He's bloodied, of course. We mentioned that apparently injured CJ Parker as well. Gets bloodied. The ref is telling him, you know, he's wiping off the blood while Kevin Steen just continues and continues. Gets the big win here. And now with what we know after the main event, Kevin Owens and Sami Zayn appear to be on one track again to meet in NXT as Triple H continues to make this the show to get the smarks, if you will, to get the independent wrestling scene audience to buy this WWE network to watch this show to see their guys make it in WWE.
I'd like to thank my friends of similar comedic vein for making the same Kevin Owens wearing a Cassius Ohno shirt to the ring. the KO. I thought for a slight moment that he was going to be able to do that package pile driver. Oh, I thought they might give it to him, but they gave him a nice twist on it with the backbreaker to the knee. The power bomb's an interesting finishing move for him, given the size of some of the guys he's going to probably have to use it on. But yeah, I'm happy guy, with that. It's a nice power move.
Oh yeah, he's got the big power moves. He's got already an arsenal of moves that'll get him, and he'll be able to power bomb Sami Zayn. That's for sure. He'll be able to
hit it. Oh, yeah, he's going to kill.
He'll be able to hit it.
Yeah.
We had our tag title match. And in our pick'ems that we did on Tuesday's show, I got this one wrong. Should not be a surprise to anybody anymore that I get these wrong. Sin Cara and Kalisto, the champions going in, taking on the Vaudevillains. Vaudevillains have risen ever since they won that battle royal to be the number one contenders. Sin Cara and Kalisto got the win here. Another solid match. I mean, slow going early on, built towards the finish. I think it got over to the point where they're probably going to continue with these two. I think this is going to be a match that will be rematched here over the course of NXT TV. But we did have Sin Cara and Kalisto retain the tag team titles.
Oh, yeah. And Simon Gotch has started to grow on me.
I like me some Simon Gotch. Well,
yeah, I still think Vince probably thinks Aiden English is Cesaro. but I wanted to read a tweet I just got. Hold on a second here. Our boy, Damian Gonzalez wrote, "This was the perfect show to fool a lapsed fan that wrestling's gotten good again."
Yeah.
I agree with that, but NXT has always kind of been that gem in the WWE universe. I was raving over Arrival like no other. And, right. This was just a solid show. I mean, this is straight ahead wrestling. And the thing that I really liked, and we'll get into this when we get into the two main events, they didn't overbook them. I thought that was my big fear going in, was that there was going to be interference or chicanery or whatnot. The worst that happened was the ref bumps, but that helped the story in the main event. So I have absolutely no issue with the straight ahead booking. It was straight ahead wrestling. It was a wrestling show. I would have liked the commentary to have been a bit better, but it is what it is. They're not going to put Regal back there, so no, I have to live with that.
And I think we got a good first start. We did have Corey Graves on commentary tonight. I think it was a good first start for him. Now, he's been doing full shows on commentary with Michael Cole and others to practice for his eventual debut.
I believe you had that scoop.
Yeah, so I don't know.
Didn't
if
it, you?
Yes, and I'm saying it now, too. Okay. But yeah, we had that scoop. He's been working on this for a long time. I mean, ever since September. So he finally debuted as the announcer tonight. I think he showed promise. You know, it depends on what they do with his characterizations in the ring or in commentary. But he certainly showed some promise to me. I don't think it was blowaway commentary, but I thought Rich Brennan was better. And I thought Corey Graves did a fine job for his debut.
I think Brennan's great in terms of being able to segue and keep the conversation flowing. He doesn't overtalk. He doesn't try and make himself the show. I really like Rich Brennan on play by play. Alex Riley needs to tone it down a bit.
It's taken me a bit.
I thought he Go ahead.
It's taken me a bit on Brennan because I thought he was pretty poor leading up to this, making me miss Tom Phillips, actually. But yeah, no, tonight he was perfectly fine. I mean, they did a good job on commentary for the most part, especially during the main event. I mean, I thought the whole main event presentation from referee Sean Bennett, from Sami Zayn and Adrian Neville, to all the announcers, that was about as good as you're going to get for 40 minutes of WWE TV. And, you know, it would be too selfish of us to ask for more because that was amazing.
And Graves and Riley have better chemistry than, say, Riley and Jason Albert.
Oh, absolutely.
Or Riley and Renee out there.
And that was one of the big takeaways with Graves on commentary is I've seen some tweets, you know, kind of not bashing him per se, but lessening his impact on commentary tonight. But if you were to put him there with Jason Albert and with Renee Young, this guy was the superstar of the three. I mean, he was much better than those two, and I think he has the better promise going out there to it as well. Speaking of go ahead.
The Lucha Dragons. That was a really good match as well. I thought it was one of their better flowing matches in terms of in-ring storytelling, I think, that I've seen from them.
Oh, absolutely. Yep. And we had the Lucha Dragons retain the tag team title. So that was the first of a few title matches tonight. Not a title match. Baron Corbin squashed Ty Dillinger. We wondered if we would get either Bull or Baron on the show. We got Baron. Bull was in the pre-show, not on TV, but did wrestle in front of the live crowd, squashing Steve Cutler. And we had Baron Corbin in less than a minute beat poor Ty Dillinger, who will never catch a break ever.
Well, we had Bull flaring his nostrils while watching.
We did have him come out in the crowd and watch. Yes.
Yeah, it's time to retire. It's time to retire the counting gimmick. Yeah, because he's starting to do longer matches now. So you're not gonna.
It's only going to get longer and longer. So maybe I'm hoping tomorrow the crowd realizes that and doesn't really start the counting so much, because you're not going to get 20-second squashes every single week until these two face off.
Well, the problem is Riley made mention of it on commentary, so I don't think it's going to die. That should be a concern.
Finn Balor and Hideo Itami against the Ascension. Mm-hmm. Finn Balor came into this match saying that he would bring something that the Ascension had never seen before. And as we alluded to, that was going to be the body paint. And it was indeed the body paint. Finn Balor with what I thought was one of the best entrances you will see in WWE NXT. Before we get into the actual match, what'd you think about the presentation of Finn and Hideo? And then go ahead and give your thoughts on this match right here.
I like that Hideo's going into his old gear. That was kind of cool.
That was a big improvement. The gear choice tonight was a big improvement from him.
Yes. I'm going to be the voice of dissension here in some way. I thought the Finn Balor presentation was a bit much. As I joked, I don't know if higher-ups are going to watch that and go, that's a main event entrance, or that's a piece from the road crew of the Lion King. Because this is the type of thing you do for a main event feud. And I thought it was a little much for what it came out to be. I mean, it was a fine presentation, a lot of choreography in that, a lot of, you know, hitting your music cues correctly. So I understand now that part of the conference call that Triple H had. But, you know, I like the look. I think it's cool. Is he going to do that every week now or just for special occasions? Because now it's going to be expected of him.
I could see it being a special occasion thing. Yeah, I can see it definitely being a special occasion.
I hope so. It has to be. It has to be. You can't. This is the Rey Mysterio comic book thing. It can't be every week him putting on the grease paint. And that's my thing. Is this would be something you pull out for a blood feud? It's a hell of a look. I just don't know if this was the right time to pull it out. That's right. My only concern.
I think his first big match in WWE was tonight. I think it was the right time to establish that this guy is a star level on that, you know, kind of playing field, because, you know, we naysay WWE so many times when they don't bring up new talents or don't push them as they should be big deals. And here they are pushing Finn Balor as a big deal. And I'm not going to be the one to say, well, you shouldn't have done that yet. He's not a big deal yet. you know, push these guys as big stars. Everyone on this show came off better for having been on this show. And Finn Balor, I think, was one at the top of that level.
That's the Undertaker entrance of NXT entrances. It takes a long time. I like the visual, though.
Was classic. It led into this wonderful tag team match that we had. Let's go into the tag team match. We had Balor and Atomini.
Well, hold on. Before anybody jumps down my throat and I'm watching my Twitter feed, I'm not criticizing it. I'm just concerned it might have been too much too soon. I'm thinking it might have been too much. Criticism of him.
You have a supporter at Awful Jack on Twitter says, I agree it was a bit too much.
Thank you. Finally, all I need is the occasional validation. That's all I need.
There's somebody validating your point there. But as far as the match goes, this was a match where I think it's going to divide a lot of people at the end. You know, I saw a lot of tweets that it was the regular Ascension match and it was, you know, leave it to the Ascension to bring down the talents of Hideo Itami and Finn Balor. I'm on the opposite level of this. I thought it was an excellent showcase for Finn and Hideo. I think people were jumping down the Ascension's throats too early in the match because it did have that slow start. But this type of match has to have that slow start to, you know, it builds up to the finish where Finn Balor finally gets in there and is able to even the score. And you have Hideo and Finn come out on top on this one with their double foot stomps. I thought the crowd pop for Hideo Itami coming out there and teasing the go to sleep was one of the best things
that
on the show.
I so love that. And I hope they let him use it.
I think they might. I think it's going to be coming at some point. But I thought everything they did in here, I thought the Ascension played their roles perfectly. You know, they were cutting off the small guys. They were keeping them to their half of the ring. And then, you know, Hideo finally gets Finn in there and Finn goes crazy, justifying the entrance. I thought it was a showcase not just for Finn and Hideo, but I thought the Ascension was excellent here as well as they head up to the main roster because they are on the way out. They're not going to be in NXT much longer, if longer at all. I thought this was a perfectly fine match, well above average. Finn and Hideo get the win on this one. I liked it a lot.
I think people are jumping down the Ascension's throats far too quickly. They have to get the heat on the smaller guy so that the underdog comeback is that much more impressive. My only things were Alex Riley miscalling. He called that move a reverse brainbuster, which it wasn't, and then he called something a drop kick, which was basically the running knee, which you're just like, okay, great. But did Hideo get enough offense for your liking in terms of badass offense?
Well, to me, yes.
Okay.
Because he was the guy who was going to be taking the heat. Finn Balor got the big crazy entrance, is the newest guy there. He's going to get the hot tag. You have to have someone take the heat. Now, there will be matches.
No, I agree.
There will be matches if these two team up that will be reversed, where Finn gets in there and Hideo builds to the hot tag. There will be matches like that. But for tonight, I mean, you can't have the small guys beating up the big guys for the entire match. It doesn't play into the story. And that's why one of the reasons I really like this is because it had a story to it and it worked.
No, I agree. I realize I had to kind of shift my watching view because it felt like every other Ascension beatdown of Hideo Itami. It's just like, okay, they're going to beat him down again for a while. But then you realize then the hot tag's coming and boom, you wake up as soon as that happens. I thought the Ascension did well for themselves here. And I think they're not going to be a world's greatest tag team. Let's put it that way. But they're solid hands and they'll do fine if they get moved up, I think.
Yeah, I like the Ascension going up there. We'll see what they can do. The problem is they're going to go up there with guys who also have slow pace matches. So we'll see. Maybe they'll get in there with the Usos a lot and that'll change. I don't see much longer Hideo and Finn being a tag team because I think they're better suited in singles runs. But right now the top of the card is kind of clogged up with that Kevin Steen and, Sami Zayn angle that was going on. But I like this. And all in all, that was the end of the first half of this show. That was the first hour. It was an excellent hour of TV, but at the same time, pales in comparison to the next hour we're about to talk about, because we go into Charlotte and Sasha Banks for the women's title, maybe the best women's match in North America, or at least in the U.S., all year long.
At least if you're not counting, say, Shimmer and Shine and whatnot.
I'd put this match up against anything I'd see there, too.
Oh, no. No, I would as well. I may tick someone off. I thought that was better than the Natalya match.
No, I agree. I'm with you on that. I thought it was better, too.
But and again, this for me is the...
I think that's a good thing for us to do, because Tuesday on the show, we're going to be reviewing that Natalya and Charlotte match. So now it'll be an added perception to that match that we have this one to play off of.
For me, this was the match where Sasha Banks went from kind of a clownish heel to a legitimate main event women's heel.
Oh, yeah.
Especially in the ring. She wasn't, I mean, she was still doing a little bit of the screaming and the gesticulating a bit, but overall, in terms of in-ring story, man, she was good tonight. I know people are going to, my fear is, and I read this a bit on my Twitter feed as well, that they're going to overvalue Charlotte in this, but someone should be giving Sasha Banks major hugs back there, because she made Charlotte look brilliant in this. And her offense, I mean, we got to see some things from Sasha we hadn't seen before. So,
we saw some things in this match from these two women that we wouldn't see in any women's match in WWE, and some things that you see in only the top level men's matches.
They booked it almost like a main event NWA WWE match in terms of, you know, heel stealing the face's moves and kind of the vice versa. I liked that Becky Lynch didn't get involved. I was kind of expecting her to, and also Bayley. They kind of took them off to the side and let these two go. The fact that it was a super version of the finishing move that finished the match just made it that much better.
Yes.
In my opinion, as opposed to, say, the fluke natural selection, it was a supernatural selection.
Which looks a lot better than the real version, too.
Yes.
Because they're coming from the top, but yeah.
But it's far more impressive. Sasha's transitions were phenomenal, I thought, tonight. And she just played a really strong, cocky heel. I thought she was great in this match.
Yeah, I think the work from both of them was absolutely amazing. The crowd was super into it, which I figured they would be. I mean, these are their girls, basically, right now down in NXT. The crowd sees them every week, and they're seeing the rise of both of these two. I think it certainly helps the case for Sasha Banks to be the most improved wrestler of the year winner. It was an incredible match. They got time. And coming off of that Natalya and Charlotte match from Raw, this was the best thing possible.
Yeah, and I don't know if I've ever heard a Sasha Banks chant from the NXT crowd.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe I'm just going on recollection, but I mean, there were little things in this match that I loved and nobody does anymore. Like the multiple failed pin spot by Sasha on Charlotte.
Yeah. Well, they called
her
back,
just getting frustrated with that.
They called back too to the match on Raw, because of course Charlotte doesn't use the figure four in NXT, but she used it on Raw and lost as Natalya rolled her up. Well, they called back to it tonight when again Charlotte went for the figure four and Sasha countered the exact same way, but Charlotte was able to get out of it. Like, that was one thing I did notice the announcers didn't call back to it, really, and should have. But that was an excellent callback from these two and whoever put this match together.
Props to Sasha for taking some chops from Charlotte as well.
Yep.
Which she doesn't usually use. And you can tell they hurt, too, because she kept on checking her chest afterwards.
All right.
Just... Might be the best match all year for me. My favorite match in WWE.
It had
possibly
a real shot. It was a near impossible task going in to try to have the best match on the show, considering what that main event was going to be. And by all means, when that match was done, I thought they may have done it. I thought they could have set themselves up with the best match in the show. And I can't ask for more. The first hour and a half of this show, so excellent. It was already, before the main event went into the ring, it was already a must rewatch show for me.
I want NXT to be 3 hours on Monday now. I don't want Raw.
If they can do this every week, I wouldn't mind it to be 3 hours. I'll recap that show. Before we get into our main event, I want to send out some of the tweets that we're receiving.
Okay.
The Frey Movement on Twitter says in a few messages, and everything from the Owens debut to the Owens angle at the end, it was perfect. Amazingly, absolutely perfect. That's the Frey Movement on Twitter. We have some others commenting on how great the Finn Balor entrance was, how great the show as a whole was. So a lot of positivity coming out of the show. And it shows like this that I kind of wish there wasn't a TLC pay-per-view on Sunday, because I have a feeling that's going to hamper. It's going to hamper some of these positive vibes from WWE. But I feel more energy coming out of the show than I do on Survivor Series, which was a show that had a lot of energy coming out of it.
Oh, I agree. This is almost WrestleMania like energy, where you're thinking, man, this product's turning around and it's going hot. And I want to tell people to curb their enthusiasm, though.
It's going to be,
because we get in these positions. I mean, we got in this after Arrival. We got into this after watching that Zayn Cesaro 2 out of 3 falls match that, ooh, now they're going to see that Cesaro can really go.
Right.
So just be excited, be happy about this show.
Enjoy it when you get it.
But temper it a bit, kids, because, because it's not going to be the norm.
Not going to be the norm. We may very well see Sami Zayn losing 3 minutes on Tuesday to Tyson Kidd, for all we know. Take this show, enjoy it, hope for more, don't expect more. Just go.
We're
going to
be getting a lot of SAWFT soft on the tapings, too.
This was the independent wrestling fan's dream show as far as a WWE written show.
You know what's interesting? I got PWG tomorrow, so
beat that PWG.
Yeah.
What I thought was fun, and a lot of people noted, is Drake Wirtz, Drake Younger, was the referee for Kevin Owens' debut. So I thought the placement of the referees tonight, for something small that no one ever notices, I thought the placement of the referees tonight all throughout the show was excellent as well. You had Drake Younger doing Kevin Owens' match. You had Sean Bennett. Little Nate again doing Charlotte's match. He's perfect in those types of matches. Sean Bennett was excellent in this main event we're about to review. He's the head NXT official. Just from top to bottom, presentation all over the place. We'll get into this main event, which I believe was the match of the night. This was one of the better TV matches you're going to see all year. And I think to you, because we're planning our WWE year-end award show, which is coming up in 2 weeks. And we were each making our picks for the different awards, match of the year, wrestler of the year. You had sent me your picks, and we may have to redo our ballots because of things that happened on this show. And yes, I think this definitely is one of the matches that kind of throws things into shambles, if you will, because this Adrian Neville, Sami Zayn title match was one for the ages.
Oh, it was phenomenal. Just great storytelling, and you know, I think I called it a bit. You knew he was going to have the moral questions there. I was shocked they did it twice. I was shocked they did it twice, because I thought the second time, oh no, they're gonna Sammy's gonna lose. they baited me. I thought for a second he was gonna lose. They were gonna change their mind, but just great stuff all the way around. I thought, it moves Sammy up to me, mm-hmm. especially in the, because when we're doing our voting in between the two of us, I was looking at stuff like WWE MVP and stuff like that, not including NXT necessarily, just trying to do the main roster, because that's what we mostly cover, even though we do a lot of NXT stuff. Sami Zayn may be second on the most valuable player in WWE this year.
Yeah, we'll keep going with this main event on what was an excellent NXT TakeOver, our Evolution show. Area code 630 is calling in. Your name and where are you calling from, sir?
My name is Rich, and I'm from Oak Park, Illinois.
Rich from Oak Park.
And I'm a big fan of the show.
Oh, well, thank you so much.
am I the eighth caller?
You are the eighth caller. You win the prize of having to watch TLC nonstop for 12 hours.
Oh, no, no. I'm not doing the review, so.
This Rich.
I'll make you an idiot.
Is this Rich from, Voices of Wrestling? Yay!
It is. How are you doing?
Doing great. It's the boss calling. Everybody be good.
Yeah, I've watched.
Not to toot my own horn, but it seems like we run that site now. Not really, but
No, you do.
We had an excellent NXT show. We were writing a recap for voicesofwrestling.com during the show, and I think we had somewhat the same views overall. But what were your overall views, Rich, on tonight's show, and your thought on that main event?
Yeah, well, I'll start with the main event. I mean, it's hard to find a match that will have as much emotion as there, something that you'll get as invested in as I got in that one. I mean, I like I said, and I mentioned it on Twitter, I was jumping up and down. My dog probably thought I was an idiot because I'm running around. My downstairs neighbors probably wondering what the hell is going on at like 9 o'clock on a weekday or whatever. But that's what will happen with that. I mean, when you get invested in a story and if the story is told well, and I thought the most interesting thing with that match to me was. Everything that kind of happened was all, there was callbacks to every little thing. Like the ref bump made sense because prior, you know, there'd be a ref bump and Sami Zayn wouldn't know what to do. Or, you know, there was the title belt. Okay. Do I use this or do I not? Or there was always these little things. So if you had watched for 4 months, if you watch NXT for 4 months, if you'd watched for a year, whatever, there was everything for you. You knew what was going on. There was all callbacks. So it rewarded you for watching. And it's like, yes, thank you. Like, you know, it's so much different than what you get on the main roster. And it's just when that's done well, which I thought that match was. Yeah, I mean, it's there's nothing like it in pro wrestling.
Continuity is a very underrated quality in the WWE.
Yeah, like how it's reason. Not hard to do, but it's just so like now we see it. It's just like, oh my god! And like Pat Patterson, I don't know if you guys caught him. He was out there after the match, and I have to imagine he had some part in this.
Yeah.
I have no idea. I mean, that just reeked of like him being like, look, let me help you lay this match out because everything was. I mean, it was. I gave it 5 stars because I really do think of it as. I mean, in-ring was great. The story was great. The emotion was great. The moments were great. I mean, I can't find anything wrong with it.
I can't think of a ref bump that has been done better in so long than it was done tonight because the first one was very subtle. You had Neville pinning. You had him pinning Sami Zayn. Sami Zayn kicks out, sends Neville back, hits the ref. It was innocuous. It was not so blatant to the point where you thought, okay, this could be real. You know, it brought some reality to the match.
Sure.
And then you have the second one, you know, calling back because obviously the ref's probably still hurting. So you call back, you give that spot for Sami Zayn to whether or not to use that belt, you know, to kind of go bad. And he still chooses not to, but gets the win anyway. You're absolutely right. It was wonderfully executed from all three people involved, especially Sami Zayn and Adrian Neville.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. No, and the event as a whole, I mentioned in the intro to the thing I did on Voice of Wrestling, that it was really, to me, in a big way, a changing the guard event for NXT and for the WWE brand as well. Because you look at, you know, obviously seeing, you know, Kevin Owens debuts and inserts himself immediately into the main event. You have, you know, Sami Zayn. I'm losing my voice, and I was by myself. That's pretty insane. I'm also sick. I will say that, but no, that was also me yelling. But
right.
So you have Sting debuting. So you have a former ROH superstar come in. You have, you know, Pac versus, you know, El Generico. You have, you know, Kenta and Prince Devitt in there. There's just so much. It was just the influx of talent on this particular card was more than any of the other NXT specials. And they all won. They were all in prominent, you know, portions. They're all in prominent parts. Like, I really do think that we're going to look back at this event in years. And I could look stupid when they all get buried or whatever. But either way, I'm still going to look at this one as a real, like, kind of watershed moment for WWE and independent wrestling and all that sort of stuff. So.
And this is going to be an odd thing for me to pick up on, but even though they try and be PG and family friendly, Zayn dropping F-bombs during the match.
Oh, yeah.
I loved that. I don't care if they try to mute it out or not. I thought it was a good touch.
Yeah, did it help you get involved in it? Because it did for me. I mean, that's when he was doing that. It was like, yes, because you know.
Oh, yeah. I was matching the emotion. Yeah.
Right, and that's exactly what you want out of pro wrestling, is that this guy, you legitimately, it's not just the character of Sami Zayn. You were rooting for the man to win here, and that's important. That's 2014 pro wrestling booking right there, is that the crowd is behind the man. That's all you have to do. It's not hard. Like,
it's realism. It's realism of the sport, right. And getting into the emotion of the sport. That's all that is.
Rich, before...
Yeah, absolutely. It was perfect.
Before I let you go, Rich, I want to ask you one question, and did you... watch the entire show all the way to the end, or were you making the mistake like me and turning it off during the celebration?
I was about to leave the room. I was like, cause he was celebrating, I was about to go to the other room and start working on the review or whatever and publishing it. Cause I like to kind of go away from the TV and just sort of focus when I do that so I can edit and do all that stuff. So I said, no, I'll stick with this for one. I looked at my phone. It was like 9:50 or 8:58 or whatever. I was like, I'll give it like another minute and see how the celebration goes. And then I see Owen's down there. And I'm like, cause I knew I was waiting for it. I knew it was going to we had sort of predicted it or thought it was going to happen. I think everybody kind of did. So I'm like, well, I guess it's not happening, but I might as well just stay just in case. And then I was like seconds away from being like, you know what? No, it's probably not going to happen now. I mean, it's been too long, but no, I did catch it at the end, but.
That was I didn't expect it to happen tonight. And we talked about this on Tuesday's Shake Them Ropes. I expected something. I didn't know if they were going to go back to Neville because I figured he's on his way up, but I didn't expect it tonight. So I think it was 2 minutes. I watched the celebration. I'm thinking, okay, Owens came in there. He did the hug. Everyone else was raising him up. I commented it was Sting versus Hogan. It was Bret Hart versus Yokozuna. You know, all the baby faces are cheering on this guy, even the heels in the company. I turned it off. I didn't even just walk away. I turned it off thinking that was the end.
No, you're right to do that. You absolutely were. Cause I mean, I thought once he came in there and hugged him, I was like, oh, okay, well that probably not going to happen anymore. And then it lasted a little bit longer. And I was like, I don't know, but like he hugged him. So like, it's all good. Right. Like I was surprised. I'm surprised. You're probably not alone. I'd be interested to see how many people kind of joined you and sort of walked away or did something else because when they lift them up and all that, I mean, that's not when you expect it to happen after that. It was weird, but it was different. But
I've been there before. There's going to be a lot of people tomorrow who may have gone to sleep or done something else after the show. They're going to wake up tomorrow seeing Kevin Steen turned heel. When would this have happened? Right. Yeah.
Or they'll just lie. Yeah. Yeah. No, I watched it.
Oh yeah. I saw it. Yeah. You know, I didn't turn away. I'm not crazy. Come on. Rich, I want to thank you for calling in and thank you for having us a part of Voices of Wrestling.
This is a great show. I can't wait to listen in the morning. So thank you guys.
Rich, I'm asking everybody this, it seems. So Charlotte Natty or Charlotte Sasha, which was better?
Ooh, man, that is tough. Wow. I would really have to watch them both kind of back to back out of context. Okay. I thought Charlotte looked better here, but I thought Sasha was better than Natty in the first match, if that makes sense. I don't know as far as match to match, but yeah, I think that's what I would, man, that's tough. Cause like, oh.
It's a tough one, Rich. We're on next week's show. Cause we're doing the, we're counting down the top 100 matches to see on the network from WWE.com's list next week. So in a matter of 5 days or so, number 96 on the list is in fact Charlotte Natalia from earlier this year on Takeover.
Oh wow, okay, perfect.
So we'll actually get to go over the perspective from this match to that one and talk about it in a timely manner. So that that list kind of worked out in our favor this time.
I'm going to give it a few days, Jeff, and then let me I'll rewatch them and I'll give you my opinion then, cuz right now it's just too hard. Like right now I would probably say Sasha Charlotte, but I'd like to kind of sit on it a little bit cuz I'm just, you know, I'm outside walking my dog because I was too excited to go to sleep.
Right,
I'm
right.
Sick. I need sleep, but now I'm just walking around like an idiot around the street, Jerome Park, walking my dog, yelling.
Because right now, this is the greatest show that has ever been. Everything that has recently happened is the greatest thing to have ever happened.
Right. I want to spin on it a little bit, but
this is Christmas morning for wrestling fans. I'm loving this.
It really is, though. It's like so invested. Yeah, I mean, there's just so much. You were rewarded so much there with, especially like one of the parts I just loved at the beginning was they showed the backstage segment with Sami Zayn. I know you're trying to get rid of me, and I'll leave here in a second. I really do need to go, but there was a section where Zayn's in the back, he's backstage or whatever, and then you see Kevin Owens sort of in the background, and they just kind of look at each other. And they don't have to have JBL go, they used to be tag team partners, rah, rah, rah. I mean, like, you don't need all that. Let the people that know, and then let the other people go, I wonder why they kind of look like that. You know what I mean? It's not like, you don't have to hit us over the head with, we're not idiots. We're really, some of us are kind of smart. So
yes, and let Kevin Steen, because the whole story between those two, as far as WWE TV goes, was Kevin Owens' promo, leading up to his debut telling that story. Let the wrestlers tell that story.
Exactly.
All right, Rich, thank you so much for joining us.
Yes, no, thank you guys. Take care.
All righty. Rich Kreitch from Voices of Wrestling and the Voices of Wrestling podcast calling in to go over the main event, which was just an outstanding match. Match of the night. I think we both agree on that fact.
Oh, definitely.
I can't wait to see. They're doing it. They're doing Sami Zayn and Kevin Owens. They're giving us what I think everyone asked for. They're giving it to us sooner than I think everyone asked for. And
is it too soon? Is it too soon? Because they haven't built up Owens as, I mean, to us, to the lay fan, if you will.
I don't know if
it's, is it too soon to throw him up top?
It's interesting because, I mean, yeah, you're given Owens upon his debut the immediate push. But at the same time, on the other end, I will say now that you have Finn Balor, Hideo Itami, Sami Zayn, and Kevin Owens, those are your four top stars right now, along with Charlotte and Sasha Banks. You have a lot of talent on top. And I think anyone watching this show, it's the talent that most people watching want on top.
Yeah, and it's a nice problem to have if you need to cool off Kevin Owens after sending him after the belt. If he's not going to take the belt and you're not going to bring him up to the roster, he has guys on his level of talent he can work with.
Well, if the next takeover,
it's a nice problem to have.
If the next takeover happens when I think it's going to happen, and we'll get that. Let's see. Today is the 11th, so they're going to tape 4 weeks of TV tomorrow. For the 18th through the 8th of January. And then we go into January and they have 15, 22, 29, 5. If the next takeover special is February 12th, that will be the night that I think Kevin Owens wins the title, because I think after WrestleMania, Sami Zayn isn't here anymore. So you had to go to this story because Sami Zayn's not going to be there come April, I don't think. So give it to us right now.
That's a quick run, but I can see that.
It also could be later
on. I mean, Sami Zayn is so good. I mean, he's so good at everything right now that they want. They want someone who can tell an emotional story in the ring. There's no reason to keep him on NXT much longer.
They could also do it March 12th if they do some other tapings outside of that. They could also do it in March, but I just got to figure they're not going to do it so close to WrestleMania, so I don't know when that might be. But yeah, we could see another NXT special before WrestleMania, and I think that would be your main event, is Kevin Owens against Sami Zayn. So if the plan is to have Sami Zayn on the main roster by WrestleMania or after, you kind of have to do this now. So I'm thankful they are. I'm thankful they're giving it to us and not, you know, we're never going to see it type of thing. You know, make the people try to wait until WWE when there's so much uncertainty there. I like that they're going in this direction. I think it signals the end for Neville in NXT. I think the Ascension's gone. I think, you know, obviously Charlotte's going to be sticking around for a while, but you're going to have a whole new crop on top for NXT. It's refreshing. There's a lot of new names there. 2015 is looking to be really good for NXT.
I think they're going to hotshot Balor after that entrance too.
I think he's on to big and better things too. I don't know quite yet right now if they're going to do the single stuff
Not
with them,
yet.
But yeah, there's a lot of good stuff to take away from this show. Final thoughts on NXT and anything that you want to mention for TLC before we go.
I want to congratulate super fan and fan of Shake Them Ropes, Rovert, on getting a shout out on the show tonight. Did you see that?
I saw the sign. Rovert saw this sign 2 weeks ago. Or he knew about this sign 2 weeks ago. Although I will say,
Rovert broke the IWC on that mention.
Do you know that Shake Them Ropes was prevalent in the crowd at NXT tonight as well?
Was it?
It was. So stemming from my last trip to Florida for the NXT TV tapings, remember we talked about on the episode after on our show that crowd was the dirt worst in their crowd chanting so forth.
Was that the sign before that about a bunch of jerks on a podcast making fun of?
We had I think it was about maybe 10 to 12 people in the crowd were wearing their little, they have the subsection of people. They call themselves Wrestling Central. These are the these were part of the crowd that I considered the dirt worst, and how they wanted to keep making chants that were not entirely hilarious or worthwhile the fourth and fifth times they did them. On the back of their shirt, in our honor, they printed the dirt worst. They are embracing
it. In your honor. You're the one making friends here.
In my honor. I think we're cool with some of the people in their crowd, but I thought that was pretty cool. They had on their shirts the dirt worst in memory and in honor of Shake Them Ropes and us bashing them on one of our previous shows. So that was pretty cool. So Rovert had one sign. We had 10 shirts.
Yeah. Oh, don't. I thought it was cute. That's all. God, I want this every week. Why can't this be wrestling every week? Or every other week? Or once
every
a month?
Every month.
Every month, please.
Every month.
It's just straight ahead emotional sport.
You will be booking at Pro Wrestling Guerrilla tomorrow. Pro Wrestling Guerrilla tomorrow, live in Reseda, California, along with three of the four horsewomen.
Really?
Everyone but Ronda appears to be on their way, and you may even see Ronda Rousey there tomorrow night.
She was at Untitled too, so
yeah, but she's got a fight coming up. I don't know if she's going to be, hitting up the pro wrestling shows, but you never know. I will be,
I don't know if they're going to be. I don't know if they're going to be in the crowd or if they're going to be backstage either. So you never know.
I will be at TLC on Sunday, so we will have TLC Fallout. We will have Fallout from the NXT TV tapings. We will have Fallout from Raw, the return of Brock Lesnar, and our thoughts on our live experiences at this show. Plus, plus our review of Natalya versus Charlotte in our series of top 100 matches. So Tuesday's show is going to be jam-packed with stuff.
We may go as long as the Voices of Wrestling guys, like 3.5 hours.
Yeah, I don't know if I necessarily want to.
Talking to me, Rob? Is that it? Okay.
No.
I'm tired again, beating picks games.
I'm tired. I got beat tonight. I believe you went 4-1. I went 3-2. So you continue to build your lead on me. And the worst part is,
I don't take it seriously.
Right. We differed in only one match at TLC. So even if I get that one match right, I will still be behind you.
You're the star of this show, Rob. I'm just this witty sidekick.
Right. I need to win. I got to fix this.
Let's wrap this up.
All right, guys. Thanks everyone for listening live at shakethemropes.com for our live NXT post show. We will be back Tuesday night with all of the stuff we just mentioned. Catch us on Twitter at crapgame13 is Jeff, at Let's Say Things, and at Shake Them Ropes is me and this show. For those who were not listening live and are listening at voicesofwrestling.com, we thank you for joining us. Catch us on our next live show, which at this rate might be after the Royal Rumble as we plan ahead, but we'll see what happens. That's a month and a half away. Who knows what'll happen, right? For Rob McCarron, this has been a great night. I hope you enjoyed it. Goodbye.
Sasha Banks is the best.
The best.